coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk. Josh Verlin gives his insights on the PIAA High School Basketball Tournament, plus thoughts on Villanova, St. Joseph's, and Temple's chances in the Big Dance. John Leone recaps the Lehigh Valley boys and girls basketball season as we identify the top teams, games, and players this season. Plus, the NCAA Tournament, recaps of Lafayette, Lehigh, and American University seasons, and more, coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day and a happy March Madness to you. I'm Chris Michael. Thanks for joining us for this edition of RCN Sports Talk. A lot of hot topics to get to on tonight's edition of the show, so let's get right to it. Leading off the program, our special guest via the phone line, Josh Verlin, owner and editor of a great website, cityofbasketballlove.com, the most in-depth college and high school site you will ever see out there. Josh, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Chris, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes during this very busy time of year for you. Before we get to the NCAA basketball talk, I want to ask you about some exciting high school basketball action in the state playoffs. I believe you were at a couple of these games, too. The semifinals on Tuesday night at Philadelphia University, one of the great games this playoff run, a great public league rivalry between math, civics, and science of Philadelphia taking on their public league rival Constitution. Constitution was down by like 21, came storming back, and made for a great finish. But what have you seen about those two teams and your thoughts on that semifinal matchup?
That was, and this is the fourth year that I've been running the site, that was one of the craziest, if not the craziest game that I've seen, college or high school, and I've seen some crazy ones. You had it. MCS was up 21 going into the fourth. Constitution looked dead the entire game, came roaring back, actually took the lead late in the fourth quarter, goes into overtime. You know, MCS, Quasi Ransom, the sophomore, misses three foul shots when it looked like he could have won it for his team, gets a another opportunity and just buries the three with a second left, and his team went by one. That was crazy. Did not expect Math, Civics, and Sciences to get this far. You know, this is not Danny Jackson's best team in terms of Division I talent. You know, if you've had guys like Quadir Welton and Jeremiah Wortham, this is a team full of really unheralded kids. They're sophomores, they're juniors. Their only senior has been out since January. So it's just an unheralded bunch, but that makes for a really fun story and a really fun team to cover because they're really, as Danny Jackson's been saying for a few weeks, house money. And, you know, this is further than any of them expected to go. This is further than anybody outside the program expected them to go. And they do have a challenge up ahead in Kennedy Catholic.
Now, also on Tuesday night at the same site, two powerhouses, Newman Gradian and Hotep, squared off against each other. And Hotep was down by 15 late in the third quarter. They stormed back to tie the ball game. Your thoughts on both of those teams, of course, with Newman Gradian beating in Hotep and getting once again back to the state championship this weekend?
Yeah, well, Newman Gradian is Newman Gradian. I mean, sixth time in 7 years that they're in the state title game, and once again they're loaded. Quad A Green, the junior guard, if you haven't seen him, is tremendous. His classmate Damir Cosby Roundtree, a 6'8 forward, has really blown up over the last 12 months as well. And then, you know, their senior guards are their senior guards. Zane Martin, who's going to Towson next year, has been terrific all season long. Rasheed Brown going to Florida Gulf Coast, and Vaughn Covington is uncommitted. They're all double-digit scorers on a nightly basis. So, you know, it's really pick your poison with that starting five. Imhotep, this is a really good year for them. You know, 10-0 in the public league. They looked really strong. Unfortunately, fell just short, you know, of the public league championship and now in the semifinals of AAA. But, you know, there's really no shame in losing to Newman Gradian in the semifinals of state. They're just, you know, the top program in the state right now in the AAA bracket. And Imhotep's future does look bright with junior Kobe Thomas, 6'5 wing, very athletic, and Deron Russell, junior guard, who's terrific as well.
Yeah, and I think Imhotep should be commended because, remember, they were dominating at 2A for many years, so they made that move up the last couple of years. So they go head-to-head against the big boys. Newman Garetti, of course, one of the best in the state. So I think certainly with all those underclassmen coming back, they're going to be right in the picture again next year.
Absolutely. And keep an eye out also, one more name, freshman Dante Scott for IMATEP. 6'5", muscular, athletic kid, has a very bright future ahead of him.
Yep. You know, I was going to ask you about this, too, because we had some great high school basketball players this year. I can't remember a year in which we had so many underclassmen, sophomores and juniors, just playing outstanding, getting a lot of college looks, getting some national recognition in a lot of cases. Has this been one of the biggest years that you can remember as far as juniors and sophomores getting the lion's share of the spotlight across the state?
Yeah, I mean, you know, keep in mind, I've only been doing this 5 years, so I can't say my memory goes back that far, but yeah, I mean, certainly it seems like it's always the seniors that are getting heavily talked about, or if it's a junior, it's one junior or two juniors.
Yeah.
There's certainly so many of them, not to take away from the 2016 class, which is very good, but it does appear that the 2017 and that 2018 class are especially loaded. You know, when you look at a guy like Redding's Lonnie Walker, who's terrific,
yeah.
Westtown School's Cameron Reddish and Mohamed Bamba, you know, three kids that play in the state. The last two, they don't play in the PIAA, so I don't know how. Some people might not be familiar with them, but they're both top five in their respective classes in the country and both will be playing in the NBA. So, yes, some extremely talented young kids out there.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lonnie Walker of Redding. I mean, his entire team, all of his teammates are all juniors and sophomores too, so all those guys are coming back. I want to ask you about the 4A teams too. Roman Catholic and Plymouth White Marsh, of course, two great seasons. Roman Catholic defeated Plymouth White Marsh the other night. Not a surprise to me. Alderdice is a team that I heard a lot of great things before the season started. I thought, okay, we always hear about teams out west, how good they're going to be and how they're going to come into the Philly teams and knock them around this year. And I was like, okay, yeah, we'll wait and see. But Alderdice really put a number on Reading the other night. What are your thoughts heading into that championship game? Alderdice, I don't know if you've gotten much intel on them, but knowing as much as you do about Roman Catholic, what are you expecting in the 4A battle?
I actually did get to see Alderdice play earlier in the year, and then I've watched them since then. So I'm not as familiar with them as I am with Roman, but, you know, I've seen enough of them to think that I think they're going to give Roman a game. That being said, you know, Roman's been the preseason favorite all year. They've got three Penn State commits. They start a starting five, all of whom are Division I level basketball players. So, you know, as good as Alderdice has been, I don't think that there's a, you know, not that I don't think there's a way they win it, but I still see Roman as the favorite going in. I don't see how you could look at Alderdice and say, you know, objectively they're the better team that should win.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they're a very good basketball team. Their seniors, Tim and James Jackson, are both terrific, athletic 6'3" guards. You know, they're super confident, and we've seen teams come out of the western part of the state with, you know, similar success before in the last few years. You know, Newcastle did it a few years back. This Alderdice team is every bit as good as that Newcastle squad was 2 years ago. So I expect it to be a close game, kind of similar to the way Romans played their last few state games. It's been close. You know, Parkland was ahead in the fourth quarter. PW was right there. But in the end, Romans just too strong, and they're too good, ultimately. And this is what they've been going for all year long. This is the target they've had all year long. They won the Catholic League Championship, and I expect them to get it done on Saturday.
Our special guests are Josh Verlin, owner and editor of cityofbasketballlove.com, does a great job with both high school and college stories on individuals and teams. I want to switch gears and talk a little NCAA hoops with you. First of all, Villanova, I thought they took the news well that they were not a number one seed. They almost seemed resigned to the fact after losing to Seton Hall on Saturday. What's your thoughts on Nova? The big question, of course, I guess, can they get past that second round and move on to the Sweet 16 this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, once they lost to Seton Hall, like you said, they knew that they were going to get the number two seed. I think they would have liked to have been the number two seed in the East bracket and play in Philadelphia, but, you know, they know ultimately they need to just get to that second weekend. They fielded questions about it today up in Brooklyn. I was there at the Barclays Center for Villanova and Temple's media availability. You know, one of the first things I was asked is, you know, they know what the past has been these last few years. This great senior class of Ryan Archidiakno and Daniel Oshifu, for all they've done in Villanova uniforms, are 2-3 in the NCAA tournament and haven't played past that first weekend. Villanova hasn't been further than the round of 32 since 2009. So they're very much aware of it. You know, Jay Wright's always going to say that his program is defined by the regular season and the Big East, but they're very much aware that their national legacy and, you know, their national perception of the program only depends really on this time of year, and the last years they have not delivered. I think they have, you know, a favorable draw, but, you know, whether or not they get it done is still up in the air.
And, of course, the people in the Philadelphia area would love to see a Villanova-Temple matchup, although I got to be honest, we're both Temple alums. Temple was snubbed last year, so they're lucky that they got in this year. To me, I've been disappointed. I think they've been streaky throughout the season. Didn't play well against UConn in the league tournament last week. What's your thoughts on the Owls heading into the tournament and any possibility we could see a Villanova-Temple matchup in round two?
Oh, I certainly think there's a possibility. I mean, Iowa has not been playing good basketball of late. They lost six of the last eight games heading into the tournament. You know, and you never like to have a team that's totally out of momentum this time of year. So I think Temple has an advantage in that aspect. I expected, with the game being in Brooklyn, to be more of a pro-Temple crowd than a pro-Iowa crowd. And I think when you look at this Temple team, you kind of see why they're streaky, because they've got, on one hand, the pieces to be successful, but they don't have, you know, the pieces that would make them a dominant team. You know, their big men are 6'8", 6'7", you know, and Escione at 6'9", is the tallest, but he's really more of a stretch forward. You know, they've got good guards. They don't have a ton of depth at that position, especially with Trey Lowe out. So, you know, they're one of those teams that on their best night is capable of beating anybody, and on their worst night is capable of losing to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I really think this Iowa game is a toss-up, because I think with their forwards, with Bond and Escione, I think they'll be able to stay in front of Utah. I think, you know, Temple's perimeter defense is usually solid. So as long as they can stay out of foul trouble early, you know, get Bond and Escione into the second half with only two fouls, you know, maybe just three fouls between them, I think then they're going to put themselves in really good shape. But if they're big pick up fouls early, it could be a long day.
Finally, St. Joe's, they've really been playing well. We had Isaiah Miles on our show a few weeks ago. What impresses me the most about the Hawks is they have so many players that can beat you a lot of different ways. They're not just a one-dimensional. Your thoughts on them beating Cincinnati and then about a potential matchup against the number one-seeded Oregon?
Yeah, I think they've got a chance, but, you know, as you hinted, they need to get production from everybody. If St. Joe's only get DeAndre Bembry and Isaiah Miles rolling, then that benefits Cincinnati. If they can just kind of shut the other guys down, and even if Bembry and Miles get 20 each, but they don't get those 8 points from Shavar Newkirk, those 8 points from James Demery, 6 to 8 from Lamar Kimball, 6 to 8 from Papa Now, that's what makes St. Joe's so special on the offensive end, is they can go to those guys and hit shots when they're open. So they'll need to really get buckets from those other players to move on. As for Oregon, I'll be honest, I have not seen a lot of the Ducks. I do not get to watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball, but, you know, I've seen people that have said St. Joe's could potentially make a run at this thing. I think, you know, they're playing with a ton of confidence right now. They've won 27 games this year already. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they could also be playing next weekend.
Yeah. Josh, before we let you go, you've seen a lot of great basketball at the high school and college level. Is there any name or a couple names that have stuck out to you that you'll remember long after this season is over, either for on-the-court performances or great stories from this past basketball season?
Oh, there's so many good ones. It's really, oh my goodness, it's just stories. And I think on the court, I think when you look at impressive prospects in the state, Muhammad Bamba from Westtown is incredibly impressive, and Lonnie Walker from Reading. I am so impressed with that young man, not only for his, you know, being 6'5 and athletic and able to play the one, the two, the three, drop 30 in a state playoff game, whatever, but he's so incredibly composed off the court, just seems like a really good young man, and he's definitely one to watch in the future. You know, on the college side, looking at Providence, I mean, Chris Dunn, I'm no NBA scout, but if I've seen just like a surefire NBA star this season, Chris Dunn is it. Just his size, the lead guard position, and ability to do so many different things. He's terrific. You know, DeAndre Bembry has had an unbelievable season as well. You know, there's too many kids. There's so many good stories that I'd love to, you know, mention, but I don't want to leave anybody out. So, you know, I would just advise people to go over to cityofbasketballlove.com and check out a lot of the stories we've read, because there's some really quality ones on there.
Yeah, it's a great website. You do a great job, Josh. Thanks so much for joining us, and lots of luck with all the activity this weekend.
Thanks so much, Chris. Have a good one.
You too. Josh Verlin, outstanding owner and editor-in-chief of cityofbasketballlove.com, a great website, great resource for all your high school and college basketball interests. All right, before we introduce our special in-studio guest, time for tonight's trivia question. We'll roll that out there and give you a chance to win tonight's prize. Sticking with the college theme, There's only been one set of teams involved in the only 16 versus 1 seed upset in NCAA basketball March Madness history. We need you to correctly identify both teams involved in that 16-1 upset to win tonight's prize. We're going to have an extra special prize to give away, but first, here's more information on how you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And also tonight, the winner of the trivia question will also get a bobblehead. Cody Ashe, a third baseman left fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, a bobblehead and the VOD certificate can be yours for correctly getting tonight's trivia question correct, which is name the teams involved in the only 16 versus 1 upset in NCAA basketball March Madness history. All right, now we will introduce our special guest, one of them pawing at me to get stuff, as he was pawing at me to try to interrupt me during our phone interview. Thank you very much. I'll interview him last. The star of the RCN B-Team broadcast and the Lafayette broadcast, former Lafayette head basketball coach, Mr. John Leone. And what's his name here? Joe Craig.
I want to see a Joe Craig bobblehead. Can you
he
imagine?
Was trying to steal this one.
No, he wants his own.
Trying to conduct a serious interview, and he's like, oh, what's your bobblehead?
Let me tell you, back in my day, they didn't have such things as bobbleheads.
Well, they should make one out of you.
Oh, yeah, bro.
All right.
I don't think there'd be much demand for that one.
Well, the way you flip-flop it.
Flip-flop now.
By the way, another
thing. Nice to see you, too.
Another thing he was doing was trying to steal my NCAA bracket. So I'm going to ask.
No, not at all.
I'm going to start with John about this, because how's your bracket doing? I know I didn't have Yale, but otherwise I'm doing pretty
well, I did have Yale.
And, you did?
Yeah. So far, when I left the house, I was 6-for-6.
I challenged that.
I have it here on my Cleveland Browns iPhone.
You're the one that picked Yale.
Disclosure, ESPN allows you to do three. And on two of them, I had
Baylor,
and on the other one, I had Yale.
Actually, that's not a bad pick, because the Ivy League has done very well the last four or five years. Their opening round, their teams have done very well.
Yeah. James Jones is a terrific coach.
Yeah,
terrific.
And I'll be completely honest, we were involved in some other things here at the studio this afternoon, so I didn't get a chance to see much of the action. But John and Joe, you were perched in front of the TV all afternoon. What do you think of the action so far?
I think it's been outstanding. I was particularly, once I started watching Yale and the way they play and the way they move the ball, I thought that Kenny Smith made a terrific comment, I thought. When girth and skill clash, given that the levels of talent are somewhat equal, skill is always going to win. And that's what happened with Yale and Baylor. Yale moved the ball well. They had a guard that can control the action. They scrapped and clawed on the inside, but they could make shots. And their ball movement was impeccable. Spacing and Baylor had no answers.
And foul shooting.
Great foul shooting team.
Yeah. And all the teams from the Ivy are like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great game. I thought Butler, the Butler game was impressive too. That was fun to watch. But I was thrilled with the game yesterday. I was happy for the Patriot League and Holy Cross coming through with a big win against a Southern team that really wasn't a bad basketball team at all. And I mean, you gotta say to yourself, what happened to Holy Cross? That's what, five or six straight away games. And this is a team that was 0-9 in the league in away games. I don't know what they did, what kind of water they're drinking, who knows, but keep it up. Good for them and good for the Patriot League.
Very, very interesting. One more thing, and I don't want to take up too much time. Billy Carmody actually was for so many years tutored under Pete Carril. And he's instituted the Princeton offense. He took it to Northwestern. Now he's got it but it's not the offense they're doing it with at Holy Cross. Defense. They're doing it with a 1-3-1. And I was mentioning this to Chris before. I actually went to school with Bill's younger brother, Frank, at Hartwick. And that's where Roy Chipman first implemented in the 70s the extended 1-3-1. It's exactly what they're playing. Pete never played it at Princeton. Now, I don't know if Billy picked it up out in the Big Ten at Northwestern or not, but I actually was looking for his email today because I want to shoot him an email and ask him if Frank gave him the 1-3-1.
By the way, I have some bad news for your Syracuse Orangemen because I know they came into the tournament struggling. I have them winning 3 games.
That's a kiss of death.
Well, yeah. No, Chris, I like the pick primarily because they were lambasted by all the analysts even getting into the tournament.
Yeah.
And you've got to – when you – I don't think they were ever as bad as they were when they were at their worst. Obviously, Jim Boeheim and that program, they've set the bar so high, it's almost impossible to live up to it. When Syracuse was anybody else, it'd be so what? But because they kind of struggled this year and still got in the tournament, people were killing them. And I'll tell you what, watch out.
A lot of the traditional teams that have been so strong, Syracuse comes to mind, Duke comes to mind.
Yep.
Hey, NC State, I mean, for years and years, NC State, those kinds of teams, you know,
they're
not
so
having great years.
Many kids playing.
Other teams come up.
There's so many kids playing all over the country. And, you know, this goes to, you know, one of our questions about, you know, what would you change about the tournament? Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, and a lot of the mid-majors are starting to, they've really come up with
absolutely
good basketball teams.
Yep.
And they're dangerous. Yep. You know, you're playing some of these teams like Butler and Gonzaga and teams like that.
Duke struggled
Miami
today against
Ohio. You never know what's going to happen.
Duke struggled today against UNC Wilmington for
almost
the longest time.
Yep.
See, I think there are some things broken about the tournament. And St. Bonaventure, right up there.
I cannot understand how they didn't get
in the tournament.
I'm telling you. But even the stuff that we view here as needing to be fixed, it generates interest. It generates conversation.
Yeah, it
does. And you know, even the whole process by which teams are chosen or left out, everybody's just enthralled. The only problem they have, and Joe, I don't want to steal your thunder, this was a great observation, how do you get to watch more games?
Yeah.
What a problem they
have.
Well, you could have more people seeing the games. For example, if you had the Philadelphia schools playing somewhere in the continental United States, I mean, sending them out west defies logic.
Are we on topic number one? Is that what we're doing right now?
I know.
This is the first time you've looked at our script in 11 years. What do you mean?
Because I have a great one I want to do.
All right. I'll save that for later then. Before we move on to high school and talk about this past high school basketball season in Eastern Pennsylvania, I want to get John's thoughts on Lafayette, Lehigh, American in particular in our viewing area, and another great season for the Patriot League. I mean, just about any given night, there was a great battle. The tournament itself was a great battle with Holy Cross being the surprise winner.
Well, if you want to know about parity, the game that comes to mind is when Bucknell, who was just kind of breezing along at 13-1, and they come into Kirby, and Fran's team takes them to double overtime, and it was anybody's game. And that kind of underscored the parity there is in that league. I think it's a terrific league, and really, for a while, I mean, Joe, you remember, I mean, Lehigh got off to such a terrible start. I thought that Brett did a great job of keeping that team together. Once they found their stride, they finished strong, and I think they got to where they wanted to be.
Sure.
But, man, I'll tell you what, in March, if you get hot for that 1 week, and Billy Carmody's team just got it at the right time.
Which brings me to a point. I'm going to make this point now. It would have been my answer for number one. The Patriot League, and I agree with an article that was in the paper last week, they need to look at their league champion season and their tournament champion. Now, I'm a believer that the reward, if you play 13, 14 weeks of great basketball and win the season tournament, you deserve to move into the tournament. That's my belief. I think that the tournament champion, if it's a different team, should go into the NIT. That's just the way I see it.
But don't you think if they're really the best team that they should have the perseverance to at least get to the championship?
You're not going to, now listen to me. I love Holy Cross, what they've done. You pressed me to death, but you're not going to sit here and tell me they were the best team in the league. Bucknell was the best
team
in the
league. But you're just flip-flopping because just said you're building excitement. You want these inconsistencies
so that
you build excitement.
I said
excitement.
That the team that plays over the long haul and wins that title, the regular season champion, deserves to go in the NCAAs, in my opinion.
Not if they choke in the tournament, though.
Nah.
I'll tell you what, I understand completely. Reasonable people can disagree about it. I think what the league did by granting the regular season champion a berth to the NIT was the compromise you're talking about.
Well,
you'd like to see it flip-flopped, I understand.
That's all.
But I think it really adds.
No, it does.
It's that mini tournament and that excitement. I'll tell you what I would love to see come back, but because of money and excitement and so forth, I can remember when it was the East Coast Conference, and in the early days of the Patriot League, we all went to one site.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. Now, again, there are lots of reasons, television, crowd, access, and advantage. You want to give the teams that have performed well over the course.
You look at the team that won the league title, like Bucknell this year. Mm-hmm. Suppose in the tournament, Bucknell comes through and then wins the tournament. Now, what excitement does that tell you? Geez, that means the runner-up's going to go to the NIT.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
It adds another dimension. And you reward the team that had the best overall season for the full course of the season. That's just... That's the way it is. Now, most leagues do it like you just said.
But
they're not automatic. Yeah. See, in the Patriot League, other than your winner, nobody else is going to get a bid into the NCAAs unless they're unbelievably good and happen to get upset.
Well, Joe, it makes enough sense that who knows if we may move in that direction.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, and again, we'll close on this, but how about the Ivy League finally deciding that they were now they do it a little differently. It's not going to be all eight. It's going to be the top four.
Yeah. For the tournament,
yeah. And one will play four, two will play three.
Actually, I kind of like that, too.
Yeah.
All right, our special in-studio guest, John Leone, a former Lafayette head basketball coach and RCN basketball analyst, Joe Craig, gracing us with his presence today. He handed me a date of like 19 vacation
days
he has coming up this year.
3 days between now and September that I
between can't. Now and like next.
I didn't know if he was going to be here. I came in. I found out he was in the makeup room.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Right. And, do I look made up?
That person just lost their job.
They did a terrible job.
I didn't say that, by the way. Joe Craig fans, that was John Leone saying that. Real quick on the trivia question, when the question once again is name the two teams involved in the only 16 versus 1 seed upset in NCAA basketball March Madness history. Some email guesses, all incorrect so far. So hop on board if you think you know the answer to that tricky trivia question on tonight's program. Yeah. When we come back, we'll talk some high school hoops. And also coming up a little later on, we have a roundtable, a mix of local, regional, and national sports issues on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
So here's your chance to have an impact on our show. If you're watching us during our live Thursday show airing, you can call us from anywhere free of charge by dialing 1-844-234-4488. Send us your comments, questions, and opinions or ideas for future shows right now or at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might just read and respond to your comments on tonight's show or on a future episode. You can also get even more sports conversations, videos, sports highlights, and commentaries by checking out our sports blog at rcn.com/rcntv. Feel free to bookmark our blogs and check back often for updates. And stay tuned. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk is coming your way in just a moment.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are John Leone from the RCN Sports Department, former head basketball coach with Lafayette. Joe Craig is a scribbling on something here. What are you
trying
you're supposed to do with the prep work for this show before
no, these are
the program
these
starts
are the little
here.
Things that you just threw on me.
We're going to get back to NCAA basketball talk in a little bit and also going to be taking an in-depth look back at the District 11 high school basketball season. But first, let's go to the phone lines. Esther from Nazareth wants to take a shot at tonight's trivia question. Esther, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Esther. How you doing?
Good. Is the answer Lehigh University and Duke?
Very good guess, but incorrect. Good guess, but incorrect.
Lehigh, I think, was ranked 13 or 14
at that
time.
Yeah, they were a good team that year.
Lehigh was 15.
15. I knew it wasn't 16.
Duke was 2.
Good guess, though.
Good guess, Esther. Thanks for playing.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so we still have that question out there. Name the teams involved in the only, it only happened once, the only 16 versus 1 seed upset in NCAA basketball March Madness history. Again, with the emails, still no correct guesses, and Esther with a good guess, but incorrect there. All right, I want to get our gentleman's thoughts on, John.
John that gentleman and Joe,
and
right?
Joe here, just throwing insults during our commercial break. I want to get your thoughts on the state playoffs and the season overall, and we'll start, of course, with Parkland. This team has been loaded for the last couple of years. I really thought if they could avoid Roman Catholic in the bracket that they could get to that championship. Roman Catholic, they played great, too.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the Parkland people not happy with the officiating, although judging by people that were there, it was kind of an equal an equal issue.
That inept neither, both
yeah.
ways.
Yeah. So, but overall, Parkland, by the way, is going to be here. Andy Stevens and the players will be here next Thursday on RCN Sports Talk. But really, a great run by Andy Stevens and Devontae Cross and Dreisbach and Stout and all those guys. Iori will be back next year, but your thoughts on the Parkland Trojans in the last couple of years of success?
Well, Chris, I'll tell you, sometimes you know, a team has a run like Parkland did, and you call it a Cinderella team. Listen, Parkland belonged, and when you get to March and you go as deep into the tournament as Parkland did, there's no accidents. This is a team that was very capable of winning the state championship. They didn't do anything wrong. In fact, for three quarters, they outplayed Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things that happens in March. But this is not a team that did not belong and just happened to catch fire down the stretch. This is a team that had all the answers. Iorio, you see him going to work there. And of course, Kyle Stout, we'll be looking forward to watching Kyle play at Lafayette next year. I think he fits Fran O'Hanlon's system perfectly. How about Devontae Cross? I mean, he's a 6'3", athletic point guard who just controlled everything defensively and, of course, in the boa on the inside. But, Chris, you mentioned a couple of other players, those Dreisbach and a couple of those guys that came off the bench. I mean, their second team would have had a good year in the league.
They, you know, it's getting to be old hat. It's the same way in football most of the time, too. Team like Parkland's as good a team as you're going to see come out of Lehigh Valley, and it probably has been as good a team as you've seen in the last 20 years. And probably into the future, we may not see another team like that for a long time. But that's just how good District 12 is. This just shows you how good they are. And as proud as we are of Parkland, and as an alum myself, I certainly am happy that they've had that kind of success. But there is such a change in the levels of basketball played at parts of our state that it really is hard, and it's going to be very hard for District 11 in boys basketball to ever, at least in the foreseeable future, be able to match up with teams like Roman and Imhotep and, you know, West.
Well,
Cat,
on a bigger
all these
and on a bigger scale, Joe, it's probably like comparing the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference with the Colonial League. You just have more people to choose from. Now, having said that, I think you and I were talking about this before the show. You know, when you look back and there's been Darren Hilliard and there's been C.J. McCollum coming out of Lehigh. I mean, there's been some great basketball. Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, if you saw him the other night. I think the level of play is coming up. Will we ever catch up to the fourth largest city in the country? Probably not.
But Darren Hilliard, as good as he was, and he was a great player and went on to a very good career at Villanova. He plays in the pros. In fact, I saw him play Monday night. I was down in Washington when they were there. Philadelphia every year has got five Darren Hilliards, six Darren Hilliards. I mean, really, and I'm not. That's not a disparaging thing for the guys we have. It's just a different level.
To your point, again, I'm that's not to say that Parkland was some sort of Cinderella.
This
is one of those years when a team from the Lehigh Valley really belonged with the best schools in the state.
But it doesn't shock me that this
lost.
Team that we all thought this is a team. If ever we've had one that's going to get there, at least get to the final, this is the one.
Yep.
And guess what? It shows how hard it is to get there.
Before we go back to the phone lines, too, another team I wanted to ask you about specifically was Emmaus.
Yes.
And, you know, all these other teams, Parkland's going to have a lot of people back, even though they graduate some special people. About every other team out there is bringing people back, with the exception of Emmaus. Emmaus loses just about everyone but two people.
And those two
are pretty special people, the Castle Reese twins.
And a big freshman that's going to be back as a sophomore next year.
He didn't play this year.
I understand that. But he would have been a starter, and he got a broken leg and he didn't play. But he will be a factor. In fact, that's one of the two teams that I have for next year that you better watch. Now, you got the two Castle Reeses on your team. You're dangerous.
Who's the other, by the way?
The other is Allen. Allen's got four of them. Are you kidding me?
But
Allen may be the team next year.
Before we move off of Emmaus, can I say something?
Sure.
Because obviously for good reason and well-deserved, the Kakaris twins deserve so much attention this year. But we would be remiss. That team has been building to this year for 4 years with guys like Widas and Firetag and Polzinski and Skarnulis. They're losing four or five seniors that really made this happen.
The blood and guts of that team.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are. You don't get there with, and again, as talented as David and Matthew are, this team was built on the shoulders of those seniors, and I think everybody in Emmaus understands that. Now, going, Chris, you and I were there early for an Emmaus game, and we saw that JV team that Joe's talking about.
So the freshman team looked pretty good.
Absolutely. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm telling you, one of our questions for post-show toward the end is most anticipated high school basketball team, and they and Allen are the two I listed because I think – anytime Cackle Reese is on the floor, it's exciting because they're, especially David. I mean,
they didn't back down one bit against Reading.
No fear.
All right, I want to talk a little Colonial League and girls basketball, but first let's go to the phone lines. Karen from Allentown wants to take a shot at our trivia question tonight. Karen, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
Is the answer Harvard versus Stanford?
You got it.
You are right.
Very good.
Good job.
Harvard versus Stanford.
Karen.
Do you want to add a title to that? It was not the men's, but...
It was the women's.
It was the women's. Very
1998.
Very good.
Joe, throw in an extra prize
I'm impressed. You get two prizes.
You didn't even fall
for it.
Actually, we do
you
have
got
two prizes.
Yeah, you do get two. You're going to like, because I've been trying to get this Cody Ashy bobblehead for about 3 weeks, and he just won't give it up. Yeah. So you got it. Good job.
How about
All right.
She didn't even fall for your trick questions,
All right.
Chris.
Karen, we'll get to you right after the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
By the way.
Bye-bye.
By the way, it's not a trick question.
And No, not really.
No, because I said basketball.
I just don't pay attention.
We get enough emails about male chauvinism from Joe Craig comments here on this show. So make sure. Keep an open mind, equal rights. Yeah, Title IX. All right, before we move on, time for thumbs up, thumbs down. This is where our panelists identify someone or a group of people in the world of sports and single them out for doing something extraordinarily well or something not so well. But I'm going to give a big thumbs up to the Philadelphia Flyers. I certainly thought they were at least a year away from making a playoff run. Not only are they in the playoffs, if the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs right now. And they have two games coming up against the Penguins, which is right in front of them in the standings. So a great opportunity for the Flyers to make the playoffs. But they got a lot of great young players. They got a lot of excitement. And hockey is back in the Delaware and Lehigh Valley areas. So hats off, thumbs up to the Flyers for recapturing that excitement and proving me wrong.
Great
Joe?
Job. Yeah, thumbs up, District 11 and AAA Wrestling. What a turnaround from the last couple of years. Great job. We had, somewhere between 15 and 20 medal winners out of District 11. Seven state champs. And a special thumbs up to my buddy, Jody Karam, first state champ he's ever had at Liberty High School. Andrew Gunning won the state heavyweight title. Jody, congratulations. Really proud of you. And I'm happy for you. You've worked hard to get it.
And who hired him?
I hired him.
Well, you always bring that up when you talk about positives for Jody Karam.
You asked me the question.
I knew it was coming sooner or later. John, how about you?
I'm going to give a double thumbs up. One goes to Matt Cooper, the coach for the Southern Lehigh women. Mm-hmm. Those girls were a special group to watch. You talk about a young team to anticipate watching next year. But a double thumbs up because Tracy Sir has two young ladies, two daughters playing on that team. One's a coach on the court, that's Sydney, and Jenna, the little freshman. And Tracy, in her own right, Tracy and I go way back to my basketball camps when Tracy was this little, and she was a pain in the butt to chase around. But she was a spark plug, and she, in her own right, could have been a terrific coach. When I watch that team and I see her daughters out there, I can't help but think they are coaches on the court. That, Chris, was a fun team to watch and a team to really watch out for next year.
All right, more RCN Sports Talk starring John Leone and Joe Craig and myself right after this timeout.
Chance to interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now. And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
You gotta throw it better than that. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. You gotta put a little more arc on that one.
A little more
work on that for next football season. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk here. Joe Craig and John Leone. By the way, I guess I should explain that for our podcast. So if someone just threw a football at me and they threw low and wide outside. So we're working on our passing game.
Joe's the quarterback.
Yeah, I wanted them to throw something at Joe Craig for making yet another idiotic comment coming out of our commercial break.
And Ryan
Banger basketball. I had one of the best. By the way, Joe was one of the people that downplayed Banger and had them losing to Whitehall in the opening round.
I did. District playoffs. By the way, Banger
had an outstanding season. Yes. John, we saw them a couple times during the year. Hats off to Mike Martino, head coach Bron Holland. And an outstanding year for the Slaters.
Yeah, it seems, Chris, you and I, it seems like 2 weeks ago that we were there. 4 years ago, we watched little Mike Martino, the freshman, Bron Holland whispered in our ear, he said, keep an eye on this kid. He's going to be a special guard.
Yeah, and he is.
And when you talk about teams that are losing people and teams that have kids coming back, it's going to be very interesting to see how Bron replaces a kid like Michael Martino. The other pieces are in place. Banger is well positioned, at least on paper, to have another run at things next year. But when you reflect back on what Michael Martino meant to that team,
leader,
he's going to be a lot to replace.
Well, they've got Reese Jones back. That helps. That's a good place to start.
Absolutely.
He's a 12-13.
Isaiah Jones is a player to watch,
But, I mean, what I'm saying is Mike Martino, I think, was one of the top five guards in the area. No question about that. But they've got a good one to start with Jones, I think. They're going to be tough.
And right on, when you talk about Banger, too, I think Salisbury also had a great year. Battled them in the Colonial League playoffs. Yeah. And also reached the state playoffs. So Jason Weaver, we had him on the show a few weeks ago. And
you got to give credit. I give credit to Bron and the Banger team. I really mean that. I misread them. I didn't think they could hold up with those teams. But they did. They proved me wrong. And I think they proved a lot of us wrong. Banger did a great job. They had an outstanding season.
And Salisbury proved you wrong, too, with a solid effort against Bethlehem Catholic to reach the state playoffs.
I didn't pick Salisbury.
You were downplaying.
No, not at all. Salisbury is one of those teams that I told you their tradition starts.
Don't get me involved. Don't get me involved in this domestic dispute.
It's like the odd couple. You know that?
It's crazy.
I would be happy if you'd take him with you.
I will tell you something about Salisbury, though. I've watched Jason Weaver's teams now for a number of years. They always play lights out. They play hard. They get after it. They run the floor well. And he's going to have some pieces to replace, but there's no question.
But that's the tradition of Salisbury. I mean, going back to Billy Pollack and the teams he had. I can think back all the way to the 60s with Salisbury. Salisbury's always been good in basketball, and I mean that. You'd have to go back a long way, really, to see a bad Salisbury team. You might see one once in a while, but not very often. Yeah. They're usually a good 12 to 15 win team. I mean, even in their average
week. And last segment, Joe went way out on a limb saying that Allen and Emmaus were going to be the teams to beat on the boys' side next year.
Oh, yeah.
I think Easton is going to be the team to beat because they already had a great year. They won the EPC championship, fell short a little bit in districts.
Wait, are you talking about girls?
The girls.
I said Emmaus and Allen. Keep up with the program.
We're on the girls now.
Now we're on the girls. A couple minutes here
before we have to get to our next break. But Easton brings everyone back.
Who do I have for girls?
Okay.
What? That's why I have Frick for girls.
He needs proof. He needs reassurance.
He needs a lot of help.
I do.
So,
I do.
John, I'll ask you about the Easton girls. I think, you know, for as good of a year as they had, I think if they can keep everyone healthy, they could have an even better year next year.
The remarkable thing about their season this year is that at different points in the year, they lost their two best players. Not together, but their center, Mackenzie Myers, who's bound for Boston University.
Yep.
And, of course, Gabby Blaschek is the one kid that can really stretch a defense from the perimeter. And in Dave's system, he's incorporated that Princeton offense. They had the centerpiece in Myers, and they had the one kid outside that can shoot the ball. I think what people don't know about Easton is they've got some young kids coming up that can really shoot the ball. And when those pieces join in, if Easton had a bit of an Achilles heel, they weren't as consistent from the perimeter other than Gabby Blaschek as they might have been. They made some big shots because they played with increasing confidence as the season went along. But if David can get a little more balance in his offensive scoring system, the kids thrive in that thing, and it was fun to watch them.
It'll be hard. It's not as easy. They have a lot of kids coming back. But the problem is the league
is so competitive. You've got the Centrals, the Parklands, you know, the Nazareths, the Northampton. I mean, those teams every year have just good girls basketball. Yeah. So it's going to be tough to come through unscathed, that's for sure. And I think there's teams there that they've got roadblocks that they're going to have to work around. But I think on paper, you know, with all the kids they have coming back, they're
you know
certainly
got to
be the favorite.
Who's going to win more games, Easton girls or Allen boys next year? We should make a bet here.
Wow, that's a tough question. I'll tell you what. I think Easton's girls, only because Allen's, you know, they're going to have to compete. Again, they've got roadblocks, too.
Yeah,
it's not easy. And Parkland's going to be good. They've got Iorio back, and they'll build around him. They'll certainly be a quality basketball team. They aren't going to be like they were this year.
But no, they'll come back to the pack a little bit. But other teams will
and you've got some other teams that have got some individuals. You know, Liberty's got some kids coming back. They're going to be tough. Freedom's got some pretty good kids. Those are the kids I know about that I see all the time. Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, there'll be a couple others. So
Liberty's going to be a good.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty decent.
No, Joe Craig, once again, ducked my question. All right, time for the round table. The round table is where we have a variety of local, regional, and national sports topics that our panelists do not know about prior to their arrival in the studio. As always, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions on these various topics. All right, topic number one, what was the biggest surprise from this past basketball season, any level, high school, college, or even the pros, if you so choose? John, we'll start with you.
Well, I have to tell you, I knew that losing three 1,000-point scorers last year, Lafayette was going to have a bit of a rebuild. I had no idea. I was not anticipating the kind of season they were going to have. Now, having said that, think about this. If the basketball fairy could come by and grant any wish to Franohan and say, Coach, whatever you want, he'd want 12 points. And if you went through that schedule and he could distribute those 12 points any way he'd want, he'd probably be 500.
Yeah. You threw me with the basketball fairy there, but that's an excellent point.
Well, basketball gods, basketball fairy, you know, pixie dust. Right. Go ahead, Joe.
I would say Becca's girls. I am shocked, quite frankly, they got to the quarterfinals in the state. And, I mean, they lost what they lost from last year. I thought he did a great job coaching the
Becker
girls.
Jose Medina.
Jose, I thought he did a great job. And they, to me, were the most surprising team.
All right. Topic number two, and this is an interesting story if you haven't heard it. Adam LaRoche, well-traveled veteran, came into spring training with the White Sox. He had a handshake agreement with all the clubs that he had played for that his son, which is now 14 years old, could have some benefits. He could get out there on the practice field, be around in the clubhouse, be in the locker room, and just kind of hang out with the team from time to time. It was a handshake agreement he made with the White Sox entering this season. And halfway through spring training the other day, the White Sox came to him and said, can we cut back on having your son hanging out at our practice facilities? And Adam LaRoche said, you want to cut out my son? Fine, I'm done. He quit the game of baseball. Yeah, he retired. Stupid. And adding to that, his teammates kind of rallied around him. They refused to practice on Wednesday morning. They didn't go through the stretching exercises. And then they teased the idea. They mentioned the idea of protesting by not playing in their exhibition game that day before they did come out and play. But who's right on this issue? Joe?
Well, I having raised my kids on the sideline at Liberty for all those years, and they were at every practice in August because my wife worked. So I know what that's like to have that kind of situation as a coach. I would say as a player, it's okay periodically, but on a regular, everyday basis, I think it creates some problems. You're dealing with men in their 20s and 30s. It's a different situation from a high school or even a college team. So I think once in a while or even for short periods of time, it's okay. I think if it becomes an everyday event, then
but
I think
the men
the team,
were all right with it. The players were all right with it.
I've heard differently.
From
I know. Wait a minute. I know that what you're saying is correct, that a number of them spoke out in defense of him. But they don't make that kind of a complaint and move unless somebody in that locker room said something. And my bet is that there's one or two guys in that locker room that didn't particularly like it every day. And I believe that's what happened.
John,
and,
where do you fall on this?
Well, first of all, let's not forget that Adam LaRoche hit about 207 last year.
Might have had something to do with it.
Struggled mightily. That's right.
You're saying the Phillies should have picked him up.
That's right. Listen, when I read it, I admire Adam for wanting to be the father he wants to be, all that good stuff, wanting to have his kid around. But think about a slippery slope if everybody decided to do it. And even if the team was okay with it, if you're setting that kind of precedent, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't take my kids to work with me every day. I just, you know, you couldn't do it. So. It's a tough one. I understand and sympathize with Adam LaRoche, but I certainly understand from a professional standpoint that it can happen.
Grown men, language in the locker room. I mean, it's a different area.
You guys are too rugged here. Uncaring. John Leone and Joe Craig on our program. We'll be back with our final segment of RCN Sports Talk right after this. Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk, joined in studio by Joe Craig and John Leone. Special thanks to Josh Berlin from cityofbasketballlove.com for joining us in the opening segment. Real quick email here from Mikey. Didn't Joe start off by saying he had his son at a practice?
Oh, yeah, my school.
And then you went
and
ripped Adam LaRoche. Thank you very much for pointing that out to me.
Mikey, say there's a difference between one level and another.
Yeah, there's a difference for Joe Craig and the rest of the world.
And my kids were not allowed in the locker room.
Topic number three here. What is the most underrated high school basketball player from this current season? John?
You know what? Underrated, I think he was under the radar. I got to go with Michael Martino only because
you read mine.
I'm out of high school now. I cheated. My cheating days are gone. No,
that's football.
Here's a guy. Here's a team from the Colonial League that goes back to back. Whitehall, Pocono Mountain West to go up against Parkland. Yep. Michael did more for his team, I think, on balance than any other single player did for their team.
I agree. That's what my choice was too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's because you stole it from John Leone.
Right there it is.
Thanks to John Leone for putting up with us and for being on our program, along with Joe Craig and myself. Don't forget, we'll be back next week. Andy Stevens and members of the Parkland Boys basketball team will be here, our final winter high school sports show of the season. So join us next Thursday, live at 7 p.m. on RCN for the Parkland Boys basketball team. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.